Those in junior church may be dismissed. I would ask the rest of you to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I want to also make mention that next Sunday, Pastor Wes will preach the morning message. That'll be a topical message on Thanksgiving. So I want you to be a couple things. Make sure you're here. The other is to be praying for him throughout the week, that God would just bless and lead him along. And then, of course, next Sunday evening, you won't want to miss that. We will have a wonderful time of exalting the Lord, giving him praise in that Thanksgiving service. Hebrews 11, I'd like to read the text, and then I would take a moment and ask God to help us as we look at it. Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for which he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, as he is good as dead, as that as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you would, through your Spirit, minister this word to each of us. Father, catch us right where we're at in our understanding and our knowledge and in our thinking. I pray that you would just arrest our hearts for a moment, and that you would move powerfully through your word, through your Spirit, to teach us, to help us to know what the Scripture says, and then, Father, that we might go on in faith. With great courage, we would ask that you would do that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. There are only two ways to live life. Life can be lived by sight, by what is seen, where we base everything on that we believe upon our senses and what those can take in and observe. Most people live life in that way. The other is by faith, to live life based upon what we cannot see, based upon the promises and instruction of God. The Scripture has a lot to say about that. I'll just give you one particular text, 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that, which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And as a matter of fact, this 11th chapter begins in verse 1 with a statement about faith. Remember that? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For instance, we cannot see God. Now, we can see what He does. We have evidence that He's there. I'm not talking about that. But we can't actually physically see Him. Yet, we believe in Him. Not only in Him, but we believe what His Word says. We believe in a place called heaven, although you and I have not actually been there, and we have not seen it. We believe in the God-man, Jesus Christ. I have not physically seen Him, and yet, I believe you do as well. We believe in the Holy Spirit too, and we have never seen Him. That's faith. The believer is simply responding to God, responding to His Word, to His promises. Our response to God must be one of faith. That's really what I'm getting at today. We need to believe in Him, to trust in what He said. We can have confidence in Him. We need to have confidence in Him and live our lives looking to Him to fulfill the promises that He has made. Now, we begin today looking at a man named Abraham and his reaction to what God has said. Look with me again to verse 8 of chapter 11. By faith, that is simply by trust, by belief, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he obeyed. God called him to go forth. Now, I want to ask you to turn for a moment back to Genesis, because I want you to see this. It's just incredible. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Here's Abraham's call. God's call upon Abraham's life. Genesis 12, and this is what God said to him. Now the Lord, I'll give you just a second. I want you to get there, sorry. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I am using his name Abraham. That's what it is now. If you follow the text through, there's a point when God refers to him as Abraham. But God called him to go forth here. You see that? It's an amazing thing. God just shows up and he says, go forth from your country. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. He was, I believe, very, very well-to-do there and seemed to be enjoying life there. But this is God's call upon Abraham's life. He gives him his word. He makes promises to him. He says, I'll make a great nation. You'll be a blessing to others. I'll give you a land. Abraham, I want you to go. I want you to go. The question at this juncture for Abraham, I believe, is this. Will I trust him? Do I have enough confidence in God that I will abandon the familiar and head into the unknown? That's really the question. It's more than just Abraham leaving Ur, packing up his bags, taking his wife and others with him. It's more than just that. It's more than just saying yes to the call that God has on his life. It really comes down to this. Can I trust him? Will I believe in him? Will I put my faith in God? Will I trust his word? And he did. Now, I want you to know something about Abram at this point in his life, that his background was such that I believe that Abraham grew up as a pagan. And I say that because of Joshua 24:2. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, that's Abraham's father, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. John Phillips has said it this way. One moment, Abraham was a pagan moon worshiper, no different from his fellow citizens of Ur. The next moment, he was a believing man with his back toward his old way of life and his face toward the promised land. God called Abraham to go forth. Abraham started like all of us do. He was, we might think of him as an unbeliever. At some point, he trusts God, he believes, but he is at ground zero. In his relationship with God. He's a babe in his relationship to God. That's where we all start. There's some great news here, right? It's never too late to start with God. And I just want you to know that God calls all of us to faith today. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You might say, well, you don't understand my background. Well, I understand Abraham's. And we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And we simply start a relationship with God through faith in Christ, something that this book of Hebrews has been all about. So God called him to go forth, and he called him into the unknown. I think this is so helpful for all of us. Did you see it? I'll show you. A land which I will show you. He didn't know. And if you go back to Hebrews 11, it says it this way, speaking of Abraham. He was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was received, and he didn't know where he was going. The last part of that verse. There's just this great unknown, see? How many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? How many know what God will do with you 2 weeks from now? Now, we may say, well, my job looks pretty secure, and I've got this and that and that. We really don't know. And all of us, there's a sense for all of us. Our walk of faith, our life of faith is just like Abraham's. God really calls us into the unknown as far as following him. We don't know exactly what that will look like. Now, we have promises, certainly, that urge us along, and we know what the big picture is, right? One day there will be no death, no crying. The Lord says, behold, I'll make all things new. Revelation 21. We see the big picture. But in the interim, we're not sure what tomorrow looks like. And we have to ask ourselves the question, can I trust God? And the answer is, yes, it's always yes. It's a resounding yes. God called him into the unknown. He didn't lay out a daily or yearly planner for Abraham. He simply had to trust him. And that's exactly what Abraham did. It's an amazing thing. God finally took him to the land that he had promised. A land that was, in a land, however, that Abraham was never granted title and deed. His offspring would get that. But God called him into the unknown. He does the same for us, and we have to ask the question, can we trust God? And the answer is yes. What about your health for next week, next month, next year? You have to trust God with that. What about your finances? We were just last week talking about daily bread. You know, I think 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. We have to trust God. We trust Him to save us. We trust Him to carry us along. And folks, all of you here today, I want to ask you a question. Did God give you daily bread last week? Every day, was there grace for you? You bet there was. Do we have to think that that would change next week? No. We walk by faith. He will grant that. God called him into the unknown. God blessed him with great vision. Look at here. It says, by faith, Abraham, verse 8 again, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place. And I just need to say, when we come to faith, obedience follows it. We trust God's word. We obey. That's part of it. He was going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham looked beyond what he could see. He looked way beyond that. By faith, he saw the unseen. By faith, Abraham saw so much more than what was before him. By faith, he looked to that city which has foundations, whose builder and architect is God. You know, Jesus said something in John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I have not yet seen heaven, but I see it. I believe. Abraham looked ahead. I believe he saw that. He knew his citizenship wasn't here. And ours is not as well. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. I was in a deer blind yesterday. It's a pop-up blind. Comes in a little package. You pull it apart. It's a nice structure. You have to anchor it down. I anchored it down with four re-rod stakes. And I enjoyed the shelter of that for a bit. But you know what? That thing's real temporary. Abraham lived in tents. He was moving around. He was an alien and a stranger. We have homes and so forth, but you know, those will all be gone one day too. Because our citizenship isn't here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Abraham was really never at home on earth. He's at home now. Let me say this about him, and we're going to get in much more detail about his life as we go on. Today's not the day for that, however. But one thing about Abraham's life I just want you to know was his was not a flawless walk with God. There were times when he failed, times when he sinned, times when he made stupid decisions, times when he walked really, you might say, in a path that God had never planned for him to go. He had lapses in faith and judgment, but the magnitude, the big picture of his walk was this. It was one of faith that was pleasing to God. You know what I appreciate about God is that he doesn't hide all these flaws of these saints of old. It gives me hope. Abraham's life so touched God, he's called the friend of God, but it's recorded here for us to see. And I want to just say to you, there's hope for each of us. We don't see all that's before us, but we can walk in faith and trusting God just like Abraham did. Let's go on to the next one. Here's a couple here, really. I mean, I could approach this in different ways. I could have entitled this one married couple that made a great difference for all eternity, right? Quite a story theirs is, their walk of faith. We move on to his wife now in these next verses. Sarah. It says in verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and he as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. That's a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. But by faith, Sarah conceived. She conceived by faith. Now, she struggled to believe. Those of you that know the scriptures well, you'll understand. And really, without this text, we may not really see the whole of her spiritual life. But she struggled to believe. Abraham and Sarah had been promised by God that he would provide a son. This, by the way, is a continuing promise of that promise made to Adam and Eve of Messiah, the seed. And Abraham and Sarah had received that promise from God that she would provide this, she would bring forth this son of promise. And he would do this in spite of the obstacles. And for them, God took them to the end of themselves. Sarah was aging, getting on in years, and there was still no son. And I can't imagine how difficult that would have been to think through, you know, God promised us and it's not happening. And I'm getting older. God took them to the end of themselves, however. There was a point when it was painfully apparent that they could no longer conceive. She was past the age of childbearing. Sarah was. And yet, through all this time, God had not delivered on the promise. Now, they believed in God. They followed God. Abraham responded to God's call, and he went out. And yet, God had not yet delivered. And so, acting apart from faith, Sarah suggested to Abraham that he go into his maidservant, Hagar, their maidservant, and bring forth a child through her. Abraham acted foolishly, gave into this plan, which was not by faith. Both acted sinfully. And following this instance, some 24 years after God's call, that's what took place. And God promised them further, even after the deliverance of Ishmael, God said, that's not it. No, it's through Sarah I'm going to give you a son. God made that promise. He reiterated it a couple times. I want you to see it in Genesis. So we're back there in chapter 17. Genesis 17. Now, God had originally promised Abraham that he's going to bring a son. I believe this promise is about when Abraham is around 75 years old. Abraham is now nearing 100. Sarah is 89. Abraham's 99. Chapter 17. Verse 21. God says, "By my covenant I will establish, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year." Again, he emphasizes this in chapter 18, verses 11 through 15, and you'll see that Sarah is now struggling to believe. Chapter 18, verse 11, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?'" God had just, what she's laughing at is that God had made this statement in verse 10. "I'll surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." She's struggling to believe. Verse 13, "The Lord said to Abraham," why'd Sarah laugh? By the way, Abraham did the same thing earlier. "Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?" Verse 14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? "At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." She's struggling to believe. It's wonderful what we have here in the rest of the story in Hebrews 11. Do you see it? Hebrews 11. I know I've got you moving around a bit. Hebrews 11, verse 11, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive." By faith, she believed. How did she do that? Verse 11, the last part. "She considered him faithful who had promised." That's how she did that. It was by faith. She received, we might say, the grace that was needed. She came to a point where she really did believe God. She came to that point. I would have loved to have been in that, with them in that moment when Sarah tells Abraham, "I got something to say to you. I've been eating a lot lately, and need you to know I've been putting on a few pounds, Abraham. And I just want you to know why that is." She didn't get an ultrasound. Let's say she felt movement, whatever. She knew that she was carrying a son. And I can't, she's 89. I've never known a woman to be with child at 89. She pulls Abraham aside and says, got good news. You're not going to believe what God has done. Some of you are laughing. And we still laugh, don't we? Later on, and when the child comes in Genesis 21, you know what there was that day? It was laughter. I got to read you this. I should have just told you, keep one finger in the book of Hebrews and one in Genesis. Genesis 21. I just want you to see this. I don't want to just state these things. I want you to see them. I want to read to you the deliverance of this promise. Now, let's just remember, God called them to some incredible things here, but he made promises to them. And you know who it's up to keep their promise when you're God? It's up to God. And he will do that. Genesis 21. The Lord took note of Sarah as he had said. Verse 1. And he did for Sarah as he had promised. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to say the Lord did exactly what he said he would do. Verse 2. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as God had promised. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. We're still laughing. Every time I read, it makes me giggle when I think of this. You know, I think of Abraham 100. And son Isaac, you know, and he grows a little bit. Now Abraham's 105 or so. Let's go play, Dad. And I think of Sarah, 95 now. What are we going to do? God gives him grace, see, an incredible thing. And she said, verse 7, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Amazing. They're included in this faith chapter. In Hebrews 11. There's a lot to say about these two. But here's Sarah. You know, she was struggling to believe, struggling to trust God, but she comes to a point, I think she finally reasons it out in her mind. Is God faithful? Can I really trust him? And the answer comes back, absolutely. And she does, and God moves. And we read of it today. And it encourages me in my faith. I want to turn to one other text with you because I want to talk to her about being an example to emulate. She is just that. 1 Peter, if you would. If you turn there to 1 Peter chapter 3, a couple great texts on beautiful women in the New Testament. One would be Titus 2. Here's one in 1 Peter 3, verses 5 through 6. I want you to see that for a moment. I want to say just a couple things about that. She's, at this point in the story, she had delivered the son of promise, Isaac, who Messiah comes through. But the Apostle Peter, through the inspiration of the Spirit, he writes, encouraging and challenging women in their faith. He writes here, 1 Peter 3, 5 through 6 is what I really want to get through, but I'm going to back up and I'll start in verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observed your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses. It can't be just that, but listen to this. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. These kind of women turn the head of God. He notices them. He's blessed by them. This is a beautiful woman. God describes her. And take note, it's not merely what's on the outside. It's really what's on the inside. That's developed through a walk of faith with the Lord. And then he gives example of it. He says, here it is. Let me give you an example of that. For in the same way, in former times, and he goes back, way back to Genesis now. He says the holy women also, women who had been set apart for God's purposes, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord or Master, a very respectful term. If you become her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And so there's instruction there. She became this example. She's an example to imitate in her faith. And Sarah, see here, as a woman, as a wife, she fulfilled the role, that divine role that God had given her and appointed her to. Abraham needed a godly woman. Someone whose trust was so deep in God and her hope in Him was so deep that she supported and respected Him. Now, there were times when Abraham didn't earn or deserve that respect. I can't go into all of his life, but he made some decisions that were just not good. But guess who stuck beside him? His wife, Sarah. She may have wondered at times, how did we end up in this place? But her hope, her faith was in God. Even when she found it hard to believe, she trusted God. He gave, after all, her a son. She kept looking to Him. She considered Him faithful who had promised. There may be some women here who are listening to this now who've been trying to rule their home, to rule their husbands, to control everything, and are struggling along in life. I want to say to you right now, do what Sarah did. She was submissive to Abraham because she was submissive to God first and foremost. She trusted God that He would guide her husband and bring him at times back to where he needed to be. Hope in God. To the point that you trust He will move your husband to where he needs to be. And we admit, husbands, don't we, that we're a work in progress. None of you have married the perfect man. I thought I would get a big amen to that, but you really haven't. And you know, we are a work in progress. Hopefully we're leading as we should, looking to God as we should. We've been given by God the leadership role, the spiritual leadership role of our families. And I'm sure that at times it's very hard for women to say, you know what, I'm going to trust God with Him. I'm going to really labor at being this person that God has called me to be. There's some great promises there in that text as well about winning husbands. But all of us struggle at times, men and women. But I want to say to our ladies, do what Sarah did. Trust the Lord. Let me wrap this up. Our response to the Word of God, to the promises of God, must be one of faith. We must obey. We must believe. We must trust Him. We must look at His Word and understand it and just say, you know, God's right. That happened to me. When I was when I was a young guy struggling with life, wondering where I was going to spend eternity, I turned to the Word of God. I believed the Word of God, and God gloriously saved me. I put my faith in Him. But two, it's not over. I have to continually believe, continually trust, continually go to His Word. We walk by faith and not by sight. That is pleasing to God. And remember this sixth verse in Hebrews. I'll just read that to you again. For without faith, remember, what? It's impossible to please God. For he who... I'm on the wrong page. Make sure I got it right. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. But it's a walk of faith. Let's trust God no matter what the circumstances look like. We can't see it all, right? By the way, I believe that's a gift from God. I'm glad I can't see all of what is before me and the challenges of life, but we just go by faith. We trust Him. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He gives us daily bread. Grace for the moment. Let me pray. Loving Father, I pray that our walk would be one of simply trusting in Your promises, being convinced of that, and may we see You as greater than all the challenges that come to us. Thank You for giving us an opportunity to walk by faith. And I pray for these folks that You would richly bless them. in this venture of faith that he has called them to. You've called them to. Father, I pray that for someone here that's just come to faith in Jesus Christ, that's where it begins. There's great hope for us. Here was Abraham, a pagan, a lost man, an idol worshiper. One moment, the next, he's turned to you and he's trusted you. Help us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we close singing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.